One other thing about First Corps is of the 60 people who went up there as initial advisors, I know that there was a Gunnery Sergeant Grove, I think his initials were RW, that was killed in action up there. He was in one of the Assistant Infantry Battalion advisors. And through some other, I don't know how he got killed, through some other action, there was a Captain J.B. Knotts, who was wounded in action, and a First Lieutenant Quinn that was very lightly wounded, got a grenade, small grenade fragment in his shoulder. And the two officers were together. They advising an infantry battalion somewhere up there in First Corps when their battalion position got overrun. And I believe both of them got a Bronze Star out of it. I think Quinn stayed with Captain Knotts, and they organized their Vietnamese battalion commander had run out on them later on, and they were in some bunker, and they got organized what was left of about 20 Vietnamese, and then they finally worked their way out of the position when the VC started working on down towards them. And that's all I know. I don't know if any of the other people were casualties or not, to the best of my knowledge. Well, let's go on down to Rungsat Special Zone. Now, Rungsat Special Zone is a large mangrove swamp located southeast of Saigon, and it's about 30 by 35 kilometers in size. And it, I've got a copy of an intelligence estimate that I had worked up when I was in Rungsat Special Zone that I can read off. It'll give you a complete idea of what it was for one period of time. Before I go into that, though, my duties were in Rungsat Special Zone, where along with Major Bronars, was mainly to be one, an intelligence advisor, two, a supporting arms advisor, and then three, a infantry advisor to the paramilitary forces of Rungsat Special Zone. Rungsat Special Zone, as I said, I gave you the location of it. It encompasses the main ship channel, and the only main ship channel, deep draft type, that goes from the South China Sea to the Saigon Harbor Complex. And so that's the reason the Vietnamese made it a special zone, and because of its strategic importance. Now, they had a Major Thai, who was a Vietnamese major, who was the Vietnamese commander of Rungsat Special Zone. Now, Major Thai commanded, when I got there, he commanded six Vietnamese regional force companies, and he was the operational commander of the area. Now, Rungsat Special Zone was part of Ben Hoa Province, and Rungsat Special Zone had in it two districts that belonged to Ben Hoa Province, and they were Kanyo District, C-A-N-G-I-O, and Quan Xuyen District, Q-U-A-N-G-X-U-Y-E-N District. These were both administrative districts of Ben Hoa Province. Now, so you had an administrative chain of command that did not follow through Major Thai's operational chains. So you had a little conflict there. We also, in Rungsat Special Zone, there were many rivers and streams in the swamp area. And we used a lot of Vietnamese naval forces. Now, these naval forces were part of the River Assault Group, or RAG, as we call it, R-A-G, River Assault Group. We used these forces down in there to transport our troops around. It's quite an interesting place. In effect, it's a swamp forest. Now, if I can read you off this intelligence estimate, number one, that I had worked up in 25th of June, this will give you an idea of what the area is that we worked in. Well, the one mission, well, reference maps, Vietnam, 1 to 50,000, sheet 6342, 1 to 4, 6343, 2 to 3, and 6442, 3-4 and 64433. Mission 1. Maintain security of the main ship channel, the Long Tao River, X-ray Sierra 9580-Yankee Sierra 0267-Yankee Sierra 0963-Yankee Sierra 1357, period. Pacify Rungsat Special Zone as directed by Operations Plan 2 of HOPTOC 1, H-O-P-T-O-C 1. Now, this was a Vietnamese plan for pacification of the areas around Saigon. 2. The area of operations. A. Weather. During the period May to October, the weather is dominated by the tropical rainy season. The weather is usually fair, with scattered showers occurring normally in the early mornings and late afternoons. Visibility is good during the non-precipitating period. Surface winds will generally be from the west at 15 miles an hour. The temperatures during this season will range from an average low of 68 degrees Fahrenheit to an average high of 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Humidity will average 80%. The average barometric pressure will be 1009.0 millibars. New moons will be on 26 July, 25 August, 23 September, and 22 October. Now, I've got some light data here, but generally speaking, beginning of morning nautical twilight ran about 0545 to 0600. The end of evening nautical twilight ran about 2000 to 1930. Moonrise went in July at about 0900, and moonset about 2145. Parent 2, effect on enemy courses of action. Weather during showers gives the enemy excellent concealment from our air operations and favors his attack or reinforcement. Rainy weather will add to his mobility and allow him to mass for the offensive. Rain also gives him an easy supply of fresh water. Parent 3, effect on our own courses of action. Rainy season restricts our reaction capability as it hinders the use of airborne troops or air support. B, terrain. Existing situation, observation, and fields of fire. There are few good observation points except along the many rivers and streams. Dense foliage and flat ground restrict observation to a minimum once the streams and rivers are left behind. Fields of fire for flat trajectory weapons are poor throughout the zone except along the rivers and streams, the occasional open areas in the mangrove, or the open areas and high ground in the northwest and the south. High trajectory weapons are restricted in most areas of the zone, but fields of fire are easily cleared. Fields of fire in the built-up areas run from good to excellent. Parent B, cover and concealment. Cover is generally poor except along the banks of streams, rivers, and the paddies. Cover is also good in selected sites and built-up areas. Concealment is excellent in the mangrove, which covers the major part of Rungsat Special Zone. I'll spell that R-U-N-G-S-A-T, Special Zone. Concealment is only fair in the southern coastal area and the northwest paddy area. The concealment in the northwest paddy area will improve when the rice grows up in September, October. Parent C, obstacles. The mangrove swamp and its many rivers and small streams is the major obstacle found in the zone. The soil is generally muddy. Tides range from 6 to 12 feet, periodically placing many areas of the zone underwater. Dry ground can be found in the southern coastal area from Dong Hoa Village, I spell D-O-N-G-H-O-A, at Yankee Sierra 0647 to Can Than Village, I spell C-A-N-T-H-A-N-H, Village, Yankee Sierra 1651, comma, in selected areas in the northwest and in small sites throughout Rungsat Special Zone. Parent D, key terrain features. Parent 1 prime, the main ship channel. X-ray Sierra 9580 to X-ray Sierra 0267 to Yankee Sierra, correction, that last one was Yankee Sierra 0267 to Yankee Sierra 0963 to Yankee Sierra 1357. This terrain feature is the only deep draft ocean-going ship channel connecting the Saigon port complex with the South China Sea. If this channel is blocked by the enemy, the counterinsurgency logistic effort in the country will be greatly reduced. Parent 2 prime, the villages and hamlets. Almost the entire population of Rungsat Special Zone is located in the 9 villages / 20 hamlets of the zone. If the enemy seizes the villages and hamlets, he will effectively control the population and its resources, which in turn would greatly hinder our mission. Control of Can Than Village, C-A-N-T-H-A-N-H, at Yankee Sierra 1651 and Tanthan Village, T-A-N-T-H-A-N-H, at Yankee Sierra 1158 would allow the enemy to effectively interdict the main ship channel. Parent 3 prime, the Dong Hua Kanthan high ground area, Dong Hua, D-O-N-G-H-O-A at Yankee Sierra 0647, Kanthan, C-A-N-T-H-A-N-H at Yankee Sierra 1651. This area has the greatest amount of high dry ground in the zone. Its maximum elevation is 1 meter. If this area is taken by the enemy, he can effectively control 3/4 of the population of the Kanyo subsector. Subsector is a military terminology for district, and its resources. This would amount to 1/3 of the population of Rungsat Special Zone. The enemy would also be in a position to interdict or block the main ship channel. The enemy would also control the extended southern coastline of Rungsat Special Zone, which would allow him to infiltrate troops and supplies. The area could act as a staging area for movement into the 3 or 4 core area. Supplies and troops, once introduced into Rungsat Special Zone, can easily be concealed in the mangrove swamp. 4 prime parent, the mouths of the streams which flow into the major rivers of Rungsat. Control of these sites would restrict the mobility of the enemy and would force them to remain in the dense mangrove swamp. Parent 2, effect on enemy courses of action. The terrain favors the enemy in conducting guerrilla warfare. The enemy is able to covertly mass his forces by the use of concealment in the Rungsat's many waterways and attack. He can also disperse and hide very effectively in the dense mangrove. The enemy is able to infiltrate regular units from Longan, L-O-N-G-A-N, Gokong, G-O-C-O-N-G, Phuc Thuy, P-H-U-O-C-T-U-Y, and Nong Trac, N-H-O-N-T-R-A-C-H, using the many waterways. The enemy normally infiltrates at night. Effect on our courses of action. The terrain does not favor counter-guerrilla warfare. The dense mangrove restricts our reaction time and the use of airborne operations. Rates of march are usually less than 1 kilometer an hour, with some movements at 1 kilometer per 3 or 4 hours. Movement on the major waterways by river craft is at about 6 to 8 kilometers per hour. Our reaction forces are initially canalized in the main waterways. Movement in the mangrove is noisy, and alert sentries can usually detect approaching forces. This allows an alert enemy to maintain security and not be surprised. Enemy bases, even when located, are difficult to attack, and the approaches are canalized and difficult to find, even with guides. Aircraft on station overhead is the only good means of navigating the swamp. Charlie, other characteristics, psychological. The population is partially hostile towards the enemy. However, the enemy has successfully used terror to keep the people silent. Extortion of money and food by the enemy increases the people's hostility towards the enemy. Now we've got the enemy situation here, and on composition, we figured in Quan Swin subsector, there were 2 to 4 companies and 4 platoons, and in Kan Yo subsector, 3 companies, one of which was main force and 2 platoons. And the strength, the figures are based on the following standard, 80 to 100 men per company and 20 to 30 men per platoon. In the Kanyo subsector, 2 to 3 companies and 2 platoons. Minimum 160 to 200, maximum 280 to 360. Quan Swin subsector, 2 to 4 companies and 4 platoons. Minimum 160 to 200, maximum 400 to 520. In Rungsat Special Zone total, 4 to 7 companies and 6 platoons. Minimum 320 to 400, maximum 680 to 880. Parent 5, reinforcements. The enemy can send the following forces from adjoining areas. Parent 8, Longan, 1 battalion plus 2 to 4 companies, minimum 660 to 700, maximum 820 to 900. Phuc Thuy, 1 company and 1 platoon, minimum 100 to 130, maximum no estimate. Delta, recent significant activities. In Quan Swin subsector, the enemy is reinforcing and preparing for an attack. In Kanyo subsector, the enemy is continuing his offensive operations and attempts at gaining control. Peculiarities and weaknesses under E, personnel. The enemy continues to have greater losses than we, but he is effective in conscripting and gaining new soldiers. At best, many of his soldiers would defect if given a good chance. 2, operations, parentheses, 2, operations. The enemy will not fight unless he knows for sure that he can positively win. He continues to abandon bases readily. Parent 3, logistics. Food and water are problems for the enemy in our zone. Storage is also a problem. The enemy lacks weapons. 4, enemy capabilities. A, enumeration. Parent 1, attack now in Quan's Wind subsector with 2 to 4 companies and 4 platoons. Attack in Kanyo subsector with 2 to 3 companies and 2 platoons. Parent 2, reinforce in our zone within 3 days with 1 battalion and 3 to 5 companies and 1 platoon. Parent 3, defend in present areas in order to train and prepare for future operations. B, analysis and discussion. Parent 1, attack. Indications point to the enemy preparing for an attack on Antidong Village, A-N-T-H-O-I-D-O-N-G Village, Quan's Wind subsector headquarters in the near future. Indications also point to an attack by the enemy in Kanyo subsector, probably Tanan or Tan Than, I spell, T-H-A-N-H-A-N or T-A-N-T-H-A-N-H. We've got plenty of intelligence information that giveth these indications. 2, reinforce. Recent enemy activity indicates they are in the process of reinforcing their forces in both subsectors of the zone. And parent 3, defend. There are no strong indications in the enemy adopting this capability. 5, conclusions. Our best defensive action is to maintain offensive operations to keep the enemy off balance and disrupt his plans. We must gain and maintain the initiative through offensive operations and the best use of the combat power available. Air support must be exploited at every opportunity. Sea naval gunfire must be used extensively. Plans must be made for all contingencies. B. Enemy probable courses of action will be to attack Antidong Village in conjunction with fixing attacks against other villages and hamlets in the area. Parent 2. Attack in the Kanyo subsector, either Tanan or Tanthan villages, and then reinforce in both subsectors. Vulnerabilities, length of time required for the enemy to prepare for an attack, vulnerability to our air support, the terrain reduces rapid movement to and from targets. Now that's the intelligence estimate, that'll give you an idea.
Sir, what was the date of that report?
The date of the report was 25-2200 June 1965.
And the conditions that you mentioned that were favorable to the enemy, are they still the same or were they changed?
They were the same up to the date that I left, which was August 14th. Things were, in fact, they had even degenerated a little bit from this point in that the enemy did attack in the south. And they did take Donghua Village and they took, I think it was, let me take a look at the map here. They took, they attacked Donghua and then they also took Long Tan Village. They hit in a couple of places we didn't expect. And then Tan Than they overran for a short while, but evacuated thereafter. And we had some big operations just before I left to retake these places. The only place that had not been retaken was Long Tan Village. We had evacuated that place because of the situation, the forces. And I don't know what the situation is there now. I imagine they've taken the place back.
Can you continue, please?
Now, as far as Rungsat Special Zone goes, the big thing about it is it's a mangrove swamp. It's a swamp forest. Looking into your manual on jungle warfare, it would be called generally a gray mangrove, a gray and sometimes a white mangrove. About 85% of Rungsat Special Zone is mangrove swamp. There are areas in there that you can go in that you're hard ground. There are areas you go in there that you just can't traverse them because of the water. You go in over your head. In operating in Rungsat, you're continually crossing many streams when you're working through the mangrove so that you're continue either fording or swimming streams, so you've got to travel fairly light. The water in Rungsat, of course, in this mangrove swamp is salty, so that the salt water has a tremendous effect on your equipment. We mostly operated in the daytime because there was no real place where you could set yourself up at night. The tidal effect there was you had these tides coming and going. And it's pretty rough to sleep in a mangrove swamp. You have to sleep on water. You could build yourself little things. We actually had one operation to jump off. I'll talk about later, but it was canceled. The night portion of it was canceled because of this.
Sir, when you speak of equipment, what type of equipment do you mean?
Well, small arms, magazines for your weapons and things like that, they would corrode readily. Within 8 hours, they'd get to such a state, I'd say 8 hours after being out all day. I remember one time I didn't clean one of my carbine magazines right off. I got in that night, and I was going to get it the next morning, and this is when I first got there. And by next morning, the magazine was no longer any good because the springs and everything, they had just all, it's a tremendous corrosive effect. It's not only the salt water, it's the mud in Rungsat. It's, in these mangroves, your mud has got all sorts of chemical compounds. There's certain areas you go in there and it smells of rotten eggs. God knows what the chemical content of the mud is, but once it gets on your stuff, you better get it off. I've flicked off mud spots, dried mud on the outside of magazines, and it has eaten away the bluing. There was white metal remaining. Now, what the composition of it was, I don't know. This is one of the main reasons why the Vietnamese did not go on night operation. Now, what we did go, we went on ambushes and things at night, but we didn't continue day and night operations. In other words, go out with a company and start moving through an area. There were just too many problems to be involved. One was maintenance of equipment. Two was the endurance of the troops. The Vietnamese do not have the endurance that we have in some respects. In some respects, they're quite strong. And also, navigating, you've got to have an aircraft overhead or you'll never know where you're at. But it's quite an area. The only way you can really explain it, we tried explaining it to the new people as they come in, and the only way to do it is just to take them out there in there. You can't quite verbally explain what the devil it looks like unless you know, unless you've been in a mangrove swamp yourself. You'll never really get the full impact of what it's like.
Sir, how is the morale, health, and recreation of your troops?
Of the Vietnamese troops? Well, one, these were regional force troops, and they're not regular army troops. They're regional force, which means they're recruited in the region and supposedly used in the region. The morale of them, I'd say, was good. I wouldn't say it's excellent. They're not as well trained by any means as a regular Vietnamese soldier, who isn't too well trained in compared to one of our type of soldiers. They're generally uneducated, and probably a lot of them can't even read or write, not too well anyhow. And they're generally from a peasant background. The officers that command them are regular Vietnamese officers to our standards, generally they don't match up to our standards. In fact, all you have to do to be a lieutenant in the Vietnamese Army or Armed Forces is just be a high school graduate. Their high schools are on no par with our high schools. So therefore, one of the basic problems in the Vietnamese forces is very, very poor leadership, especially at the lieutenant level. The troops themselves are pretty good. They'll work hard. They'll do anything if led properly. But if led poorly, they'll react accordingly. Special services, they had nothing. We got them a couple of things once. I got them some horseshoes, and they thought this was the greatest thing going. They did have a volleyball court set up in one place, but generally, nothing is done for the troops. They don't have any PX like we have. Their pay is poor, and it's quite a deplorable situation, especially among the regional force troops.
What were the feelings of these Vietnamese, sir, having Americans as advisors?
Of course, this is a hard question to answer. Some of them were happy to have the help. I know that there were some Vietnamese commanders, I talked to some of my other friends operating in other areas, where they just considered them a nuisance. And some of these guys were probably some of your sharper commanders. But generally, it was one of the things that they had to tolerate because they realized that we knew a lot and they could learn a lot. And also, along with these advisors came all the military equipment and everything else that they were fighting this war with. They knew doggone well that they couldn't hack it by themselves. I've had some Vietnamese, thank me profusely for all the help I had given them and taught them things. The intelligence end of it there. We had Lieutenant Minh, who was a hard-working Vietnamese officer, and he was easy to work with. He spoke fairly good English. I mean, we had some problems, but he would very readily grasp all suggestions and work at them. While there were other lieutenants there that were just plain non-entities, you couldn't get anything to them.
Sir, do you have any criticisms or recommendations for future advisors? Criticisms in the sense of what took place there? Or?
Well, in operating out there, I think one of the most important things that an advisor should have is a speaking ability of the language, because if you can't communicate, you can't advise. And we had no preparation in language at all. We were just sent over there. Now, they do try and give the people that go to the Fort Bragg course some language, which helps, but it isn't enough. A man, in order to be an advisor, should speak that language thoroughly so that he can get his ideas across effectively and then ensure that he's got the proper idea across to the person. And especially when you're in a firefight, this is where things are real tense, bullets are flying, people are getting killed and wounded, and this is where you've really got to get your points across. Of course, you're not going to say too much because you don't want to interfere with his command prerogatives, but if you can help him out at any time, you will. But generally, we found out that this is the time when you should keep your mouth shut, stick close to him and watch him. And then if he asks for some help, give it to him, because this is when everything's going hot and heavy and all you're doing, putting your 2 cents in, is just going to confuse him more and ball things up. But you can help him out there quite a bit, which we found we could, but wait until he asks for it. But the language thing is the biggest thing.
Was there any civic action program in your area, sir?
Yes. This was all part of the pacification program with civic action. In each subsector or district, there were little teams of an officer and about 3 or 4 enlisted men. They were Army. They were sent down there from Benoit Province. Now, they also operated down there. They came under our operational control, but they worked on the civic action bit. There were some fish ponds that were dug for them so that they could grow fish and have some food to eat. There were water holes that were dug. There were these little things that we... There was an attempt at civic action. We were well aware of it. The only thing that we had problem with was getting materials. Now, in civic action, we also did have... We did quite a bit medically speaking. We had our medical teams, and corpsmen and such. The medics, Army medics, go down there and treat the people and hold sick call. But we had problems there, too, because a lot of people would take the drugs that we'd give them and try and sell them somewhere else rather than cure the children. I mean, they weren't very intelligent, a lot of them, and they didn't understand basics. They don't, say, for instance, they don't understand that dirt has germs in it. To them, there's no connection between their illnesses and germs and dirt. So a lot of the people come down with a lot of diseases, all sorts of diseases. I've seen all of them over there, and some of them pretty bad.
Sir, could you tell me of any miscalculations or failures that occurred during your tour?
Right. Well, whenever an ambush is sprung by the Viet Cong, they generally have it plan so that they nail the reaction force that's going to the aid of some village at the attack. And they do this time and time again, and the Vietnamese, time and time again, they will ignore taking a covered route to reinforce this outfit that's under attack in the village, and they'll go right down the roads because it's the easiest method of approach and the quickest. And this happens more than once. Well, they'll always attempt to ambush a relieving force. In fact, they plan it that way because they'll make a very close study of the routes that the relieving force will have to take, and then in this sense, they'll set up their ambush. Now, one ambush that I can remember very vividly, of course, it didn't happen in Rungsat Special Zone, but right adjacent to it, as they attacked a village, oh, I'd say about 6 kilometers, no, about 3 kilometers away from Rungsat headquarters, which was located at Nabe, N-H-A-B-E, right a point, right on a point in the northern part of Rungsat Special Zone. This was at night, and the people in this Nabe district sent out the reaction force down the road, and a squad of about 10 or 12 VC ambushed these three vehicles that was carrying this small reaction force. It didn't amount to about 30 or 40 people. And they fired on them from about 30 to 40 foot range. They fired quickly, set off two enormous explosions, which the VC had improperly placed so that most of the blast went away from the roadbed rather than on it. They were setting aside the road. But this is an example of how this occurred. And this occurred during the month of, I think it was May or June 65. But this is nothing.